Well, good morning and welcome to New Life Church. If you don't know me, my name is Janessa Gritter and I am the intern worship pastor here at New Life. We are so sad we can't meet in person due to COVID-19 restrictions, but we're happy that we can find a sense of community online in these weekly services. If you're just new here, if you just started watching our live stream, we want you to know that we are a church committed to changing lives, being in a diverse community, and making a radical impact. As we enter into worship this morning, let us quiet our hearts and quiet our ears to listen and to be drawn into God's Spirit this morning. Let's worship.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. My name's Sarah Audette, and this is my husband, Ben. We have been attending New Life for 22 years and 3 years. We will be hosting you this week.
As we continue in worship, let's join Pastor Nathan as we take part in the baptism of Charles Van Wilden, son of John and Heidi. It happened at Peace Arch Park to accommodate the grandparents living in the States. We join with them as a New Life community to hear the promises of God and to commit ourselves again to be the family of God.
You love and trust Jesus as your Savior and as the Master of your life. Do you promise to instruct this child in the truth of God's Word and in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ? By word and by example, and in the context of a Christian community. And will you pray for Charles? And will you teach him to pray? And will you raise him in a church community that represents the body of Christ in this world so that he can learn to be a citizen of God's kingdom? What is your answer? So, and in responding, we do God helping us, I ask everyone who witnesses this baptism also, do you promise to be that community of Christ that loves and prays for Charles and a community that nurtures faith in Jesus for him? What is your answer?
We do, God helping us.
Charles is a Germanic name, and it means, quite simply, man. or it has variations of maybe like Warrior Man, which is
servant.
But also Free Man, and I want to pick up on that. And then Benjamin is a Hebrew name, and it means son of my right hand, or in other words, a son who follows me because I've instructed him in a way that I want him to go. And so I want to leave for Charles this passage from John chapter 8. And I will lay the responsibility on you to pass this scripture along to him as he grows up. In John 8, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So, let's baptize Charles. Charles Benjamin Van Wielden, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say a moment of prayer. Father, we pray that you will bless John and Heidi and their new family. We pray that you will watch over them, that you will give John and Heidi wisdom and blessing in raising Charles. We pray that Charles may know your love and one day respond to your grace in trust and obedience to you. And so, Father, we pray for your blessing of your Spirit upon this family and upon all of us as we seek to follow hard after Jesus. And so, as you are present, we pray that we may respond to you always with love and trust and obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was awesome. I'm glad we could be a part of that to affirm the commitment to the community and raise the little Charles to know and love Jesus. Any other events coming up?
Actually, Nourish and Be Nourished is an event that's happening on Thanksgiving Monday, October 12th at New Life Church. This will be an intentional time of Thanksgiving, communion, and giving to the food bank. Come to the church between 9 and 11 a.m. Enter through the front entrance. You and your family and your bubble will be guided through stations of praise, prayer, and thanksgiving as you move through the auditorium. Be sure to bring non-perishable items to make this a wonderful Thanksgiving event.
Wow, that sounds like such a great Thanksgiving event. As for the food donation, the Abbotsford Food Bank really needs a good supply of rice, pasta, sauce, peanut butter, and Kraft dinner.
The offering today is for New Life Ministries. We are excited to see many of our ministries start up this October, like GEMS, Cadets, Switch Life, and many other life groups. Sarah is a GEMS leader, and together we are in a life group where we see God work in our community. As you can see on your screen, we have many ways to give. If you'd like to learn more on how you can give, check out the link in the video description. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us and this time we can spend together and slightly apart in your word. I pray for all of New Life Ministries that you will bless them this year and that they will fulfill the callings they are led towards. I pray that this offering will be blessed in your name and that we will give you praise every day. Lord, keep us safe as we go about our week and lead us deeper into your word through Pastor Nathan. Amen.
Kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for you. All of these materials can be found in the video description or on our website. Every month, New Life Kids starts a new series. This month's series is called the Fab Five. You'll learn about the five Old Testament prophets in true comic book style, while discovering what it means to be faithful to the one and only God.
If you want you and your kids to get more out of the weekly videos, there are some reflection prompts following the lesson that can help your family dig deeper into each lesson. Now would be a good time to pause the video and set up your kids. When we come back, we will be joined by Pastor Nathan.
Okay, thanks, Ben and Sarah. And last week, I asked you to send in responses of your best experience of being in Christ-centered community, and you responded. Thank you so much. And the Drader family responded, each with a memory of being in Christ-centered community. Devin recalled worshiping in a New Life service right here in the auditorium with a crowd of people around. Sherry experienced Christ-centered community with meals from the church and from the Christian school community when she was very sick. Mariah remembers playing volleyball at Athletes in Action. Lucy Ann remembers going to Gems Girls Club here at the church. And Charlie recalls playing Lego to make the Bible story in Kids Church. Wonderful memories. And Bob and Gloria Bransma, they wrote in and said, "We felt community most in the type of worship and praise that brings a spontaneous clapping of hands and amens, where one can feel the Spirit moving among us." They wrote, "Another is when we have been challenged to come forward to confess and pray or renew our faith, and the pews empty out as people come forward for prayer and renewal." What a great memory. Others reminisced in similar fashion of wonderful times of unity and community. It's all about looking back. For me, I remember the first time I ever preached here in this place. It was Pentecost Sunday, 2007. And I experienced such wonderful community. I came to serve this church the following fall. I remember preaching about getting too comfortable in church. And I challenged all of you right here on a Sunday morning to get up out of your seat and change where you sit. And the thing that surprised me was you did it. It was amazing. I remember the profession of faith services, thinking the testimonies would never end, and yet marveling at the way that God had moved in and shaped people's lives. I remember Mexico auctions and going on Honduras trips, serving with our sister church in Laure, Honduras. I remember service weeks at Esperanza. And God always used those times to turn our lives around and to turn them upside down or inside out, to disturb us and to cause us to pay attention once again to what God was doing. And I mention those things because it's important for us, I think, to remember the things that God has done in our lives. It is so easy otherwise to forget. I mean, I've got to remember what God has done in this place because I so easily get caught up in the clamor to get the right music, the right worship style, the right staff people, the right ministry formula, the right structure for organization, the right attitude for leading this congregation. And then I find it so easy to forget where God is active in this place. You see, to remember is to have a mysterious wonder of God's saving power at work in our lives. To remember, let me say it again, is to have a mysterious wonder of God's saving power at work in our lives. Wonder. Because God's love and deliverance fills us with awe and amazement, and it warms our hearts. That's the wonder. The mystery, of course, is that sometimes God casts us out of places in which we want to remain, and He places us in positions and circumstances where we would otherwise never go. And we forget that God has been at work in our lives, shaping us, perhaps even shaping circumstances, so that we would move along with Him in step with His purposes. And that's the story of the Israelites. As we've followed them through chapter 16 and 17, coming out of Egypt, wandering through the wilderness, their story is one of, well, forgetting to remember. Let me read Exodus chapter 18 as we come to the conclusion on our vision series, trying to look ahead into what this church season will look like. Here's the story in Exodus chapter 18, the first part of it anyways, beginning at verse 1. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. And after Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. And the other was named Eleazar, for he said, my father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness where he was camped near the mountain of God. That's the mountain, Mount Sinai. And Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships that they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. And then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. And there you have the Israelite story. God leads them wonderfully, miraculously, spectacularly, but they forget. And it takes an outsider to remind them of all that God has done. And so as we followed the Israelites in the wilderness in chapter 16 and 17, they were complaining about how lousy life was, grumbling because Moses and God had led them into this wilderness, into this desert, and they could not possibly see a way forward. How could this be in advance? They kept on questioning Moses and God. They certainly couldn't see the kind of calling and mission to which God was calling the people of Israel. They had forgotten God's historic purpose for them. And then Jethro comes along, an outsider, a Midianite who was not of the people of God, not of that enclosed enclave, that tight-knit community of people who had known a slave experience and who had known a spectacular release by the hand of God. An outsider, Jethro was. But he had heard about Israel through Moses because it was his son-in-law. But this is no proud of you, son, moment. For Jethro, this outsider comes to faith in God because he sees what an amazing thing God has done with this ragtag bunch of people. Israel is blind to what Jethro sees. He sees a band of no-name people who've been delivered spectacularly from an all-powerful Egypt. And then in the desert, as Jethro hears the story, he reminds them, when anyone else would have long died of thirst and hunger, this people marvelously have just enough food and just enough water to supply their every need. Facing enemies, these ragtag people with no military experience, they defeat a marauding band of bandits. Only because Moses kept his hands up in the air. What a spectacular story to remember. And Jethro reminds them, helps them to see what God has done. And that's a bit like our own story, I suppose, and I suspect. God still calls us to remember His purpose and mission, because it's way too easy for us in the middle of the hustle and bustle of life to forget our purpose. See, remembering isn't just about nostalgia. It's not just about a good, feel-good feeling. It's not just about managing ourselves to enjoy life. Remembering is because we want to see God at work. And the best way to see that is to be able to look back and, yes, reminisce and perhaps even remember the difficult times. Remembering is about seeing God at work in our lives. Remembering is about seeing Jesus, our Savior, at work. Remembering, because whatever discomfort that we might have been in, we always get caught up in God's bigger plan of salvation for our life. We remember because we're called to make God's purpose known to the rest of the world. That's our mission. That's the radical impact that we seek in our vision for New Life to be an agent for a changed life, a diverse community, and a radical impact. We want to make God's purposes known. And for that, we need to remember what God has done. But looking back then is only one side of the coin. There's also the stepping forward. It's not just about the past, but it's about what is ahead, the future. What are we going to do with it? I mean, it's fun to remember. It's fun to go back into the past. And it's a lot scarier, perhaps even more dangerous, to step out into the unknown, into what is uncertain, and to move forward. And so, at least sometimes it's just way easier to retreat and to stick close to what's familiar and to just carry on to know what's expected. And so that's when the other half of this story of Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, comes in. Let me read the rest of the story. So Jethro has come to meet Moses in the desert to rejoin the family. And the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. And when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Well, because the people come to me to seek God's will. And whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me. And I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you're doing isn't very good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You can't handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him. Teach them His decrees and instructions, and show them the way that they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases, they can decide themselves, and that'll make your load lighter, and because they'll share it with you. And if you do this, and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain. And all these people will go home satisfied." And so Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel, made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and they served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. And then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. See, Israel was having a hard time stepping forward, in part because they didn't remember the great things God has done, but also because they were afraid of the future, afraid of the uncertainty, confused by the disruption of the wilderness. They were still thinking of themselves as a little family, just this little band of people that all got along nice with each other and carrying on. And that's how the story starts, with a family reunion, Moses' family reunion. Jethro brings Moses' wife, his two sons, to him in the desert. And it's a strange episode. In the middle of everything else that's happening, suddenly we get this story of a family reunion. But Moses not only had a family, but he also thought of the people of Israel as his family. That's how he treated them. That's how he led them, like a family, like just a small band of enclaved people, tightly knit together, everybody knowing each other's business. Israel thought of themselves as a family. They fought and bickered like a family. And Jethro comes along and he leads them into thinking like a nation. And he urges them to step forward, to devise new patterns of leadership so that they could move ahead according to God's purposes. He gets Moses to think differently. He organizes delegated leaders to do their job. And it's no longer one big happy family just feeling good together, but now they are organized like a nation. And that's who they are. They are a nation of God, God's own people. You got to remember, God promised this very thing way back to the first patriarch, Abraham. When he came to Abraham and he said, I'm going to make you into a great nation, Abraham. And then he also added this purpose. I'm going to make you into a great nation so that through you, through that great nation, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And so Jethro's faith in God is a hint that God is indeed, even in this wilderness experience, fulfilling his promise and accomplishing his purpose. So in the following chapter, in Exodus 19, as this new nation prepares to receive God's covenant and his laws, we get the Ten Commandments, for example, in Exodus 20. God tells Moses to remind the people, in Exodus 19, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. What an amazing calling. To be mediators of God, that's what it means to be a priest, to be a mediator between God and people for the rest of the world. To be a holy testimony to God, establishing his kingdom in this world. That's what it means to be a holy nation. To be that representation of what God is up to, not just in a few people's lives, not in just a nice, tight-lit little family, but in a whole nation that represents God establishing his kingdom in this world. It's an amazing calling. And here's the good news. That's our calling too. It's what we envision when we say new life will be an agent for radical impact. So for example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter urges churches to stay faithful. In the midst of wilderness hardship that they were experiencing, these early Christians in the midst of the Roman Empire, and he uses the same language of Exodus 19 while the Israelites are in the desert to describe the church. Peter writes, as you come to him, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, that's that Christ-centered community that we talked about last week. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then later on, verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. In other words, God is calling us, no matter what our circumstances are, even in the midst of hardship, God continues to call us to step forward into being God's people, into being God's priesthood, God's go-betweens between a holy God and a world lost in sin and brokenness. We're called to be those kind of mediators. We're called to step forward into being that display of God's kingdom in this world, as a church and as a body of Christ moving in and through the world in our daily lives. We're called to step forward into what it's really like to live in God's grace and God's favor, in God's provision. These are the hard lessons that Israel had to learn in the wilderness. Those are the hard lessons that you and I need to learn in the midst of our own wilderness. A people called not just to be a cozy group of people to feel good about each other, but a people called to be a testimony of God's presence in this world. That's an amazing calling. What a purpose. It's our purpose. It's our calling from God himself. So here's the question that I'd like you to reflect on. I'd like you to reflect on, how is God changing us to be his kingly priesthood? How is God changing us to be his holy nation for the sake of the rest of the world? And so maybe you want to take a moment right now, or perhaps after the service, to answer that question. Here's the question. In what new way will you embrace the mission of God for a radical gospel impact in this new church season? Go ahead and reflect on that question. To embrace that amazing calling, to embrace that new purpose that you perhaps imagine for yourself, that you hear God calling you to, requires the power of the Holy Spirit to live in us and to live in you, to equip you. And surely God will equip you for that work ahead, for all of us. So let's pray that God would send his Spirit among us. Join me. Father in heaven, thank you for this amazing calling that you have placed upon us. Sometimes, God, we just want to go our own way, and we confess that we have often forgotten the things that you are doing in our own lives and in the life of our church and in the life of all of your people throughout the world. God, forgive us when we have forgotten your amazing work of salvation and of redemption in this world. And so remind us again. Remind us, God, not just of the good times we've had enjoying your presence, but also remind us of your work in this world that calls us to step forward into your purposes, into your mission, And thank you for inviting us into that. And so we pray for your Spirit's presence to equip us. Thank you for the gifts and the talents that you've given us. And we pray that we may embrace that and that we may, with a sense of enthusiasm and excitement, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of confusion, God, help us to expect the great things that you are going to do among us. And so, Father, we pray that you will surround us with your presence. And may everything that we do be done in the confidence of God and of God alone. For by ourselves, Father, we are weak. But in you, we are strong. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So go into this week and go into this new year and embrace that mission that God has placed us on together and as we individually live our lives. May you be that royal priesthood. May you be that holy nation of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Go in his strength. Be his people, his testimony, his witness of his coming kingdom.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us so wonderfully. This series is called Wilderness. And Nathan, this sermon, posed a question to us. In what new way will you embrace the mission of God for a radical gospel impact this church season? And we want to hear during the sermon series from you. So please send in your answers to these questions. On Wednesday, we had a New Life Live, our congregational meeting, and you have been sent a link to vote on certain budgets and a new board member. Please do so by this Wednesday, which is October 7th. And if you have any problems or questions, you can contact our office email. Thank you so much for tuning in to our live, our service, and we hope to see you next week.